Amateur Presentation.
Welcome back to another Untitled TIFF Review. I am one of your hosts, Matt Rohrbeck, alongside, he's allergic to tomatoes, but he is tomato meter approved, the day bitch, Eric Marchand.
Well, this episode has already gone to the dogs.
It is day four. We are sitting in our favorite new echoey spot, which is the bath in Toronto.
Don't give away our secret recording locations.
I feel like every year we find a new spot.
We're tastemakers. People are going to now come to this place after we've recorded here and deem it a historical landmark.
Yeah, we should put like a little plaque on this table and be like the 2024 Toronto International Film Festival official untitled movie podcast.
I mean, we're the rosin recording. Mocha of film podcasters.
Film criticism. That's what I always say. Eric, how are you doing on day four?
Man, I'm a little shaggy dog tired, you know. Yeah. But at the same time, I think it all kind of...
Ready to go homeward bound?
Homeward bound all the way. Wag the dog, you know, all the good stuff. Old Yeller. Okay, we got them all. I'm tired. But, you know, I think the night before when we recorded our reviews for Saturday Night in Enora,
go listen to those, please.
We had a little bit of time to sleep and relax, and I think that helps quite a bit, but it also makes you realize how tired you are.
Yeah.
You know, the next day when you're not getting a regular amount of sleep, and especially when you're in TIFF mode, because, you know, the 2 weeks that we're doing this and we're covering the festival from beginning to end, and I know you had some family obligations, things like that, but what happens is that, you know, your life is literally going from one movie to another, to an interview, to getting food, to going back to another movie, and
recording.
Yeah. And even though you're not physically doing a lot, mentally you're absorbing
lack of sleep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And people, like, I saw people talking shit online being like, I just have to sit and watch movies all day. And yes, that's a great job if people get paid to do that. Don't get me wrong. Like, that's one of the better jobs you can have. It doesn't take away that it, is exhausting at times, and especially when you're getting over little things. But yeah, as Eric kind of and I made some dog movie jokes at the beginning, today we are reviewing Mariel Heller's Night Bitch, probably one of the best titles of the festival, I gotta say.
Yeah,
a
provocative one that I'm surprised that
they're allowed to do.
Disney's Night Bitch is kept that title, because it's a title that I don't know. I'm sure there was questions about censorship and stuff like that, because
if they were even allowed to.
Well, I'm going to say the original title because it's in context with what we're doing. But I know with Zoe Kravitz's directorial debut, Blink Twice, the original title for that film was Pussy Island.
Okay,
and she wanted to keep that title,
but they wouldn't let her.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, so Night Bitch is allowed. We did see it. Eric went to a PNI this morning. I went to a public screening at the Princess of Wales. But Eric, let's get into it. I think we do need to discuss the trailer that dropped the other day too.
We sure do.
Because I feel like, I mean, I'll kick it off. That trailer is atrocious. And my theory when...
Some would even say, woof.
Yeah. My theory when that trailer dropped, and I said this to Nevis, my wife, and I was just like, I have a feeling it's either intentional, so when people do go see the movie, it'll be darker and weirder than what that trailer let out to be, and they'll be kind of caught off guard by that, and some of the darker elements will be more shocking because it's played off as this kind of fun look at motherhood that's, oh, she turns into a dog, and it's got a fun song, and and I think I was, like, half right with that, where I think it's a little bit of they don't know how to market the movie. And make it accessible, and that they go, well, why don't we take this route, and at least when people go see it, it'll be weirder. I ultimately liked the movie quite a bit. I think Amy Adams is great, as expected. I think that it is an honest look, in a genre lens at motherhood. Genre light, I would put it. And I think that it struggles tonally to figure out what it wants to be.
Or how far to go.
Yeah, or how far to go is a great way of putting it. So I think when it goes far, I'm like, ooh, I like this. But then it kind of pulls back to try to play it a little bit more safe.
Yeah, when you're playing, when Mariel Heller's playing fetch with the material, she's throwing the stick to a certain degree for the titular night pitch to go and fetch it. But what's happening here is it's going to be weird for people that maybe don't see a lot of
weird
festival movies or indie films. Or maybe don't have really that much experience with people like David Cronenberg.
Couple walkouts in my screening, I will say.
Yeah, with body horror, stuff like that. You know, there's a couple visuals that are, you know, gross, but not anything that you haven't seen if you haven't seen a David Cronenberg movie. Or even, you know, The Substance, which is playing the festival as well. But it's weirdly, and I think this is it's insightful. Obviously, you were just talking about you know, motherhood and the metaphor of feeling like you're turning into, you know, literally another species, and you're far from what your former self was before being a parent, and you know, trying to dig in the dirt and find that former self again, and try to find balance between, you know, your independence but also your parental responsibilities. And yeah, like Amy Adams is amazing because she's fully committed. And what I think Mariel Heller does here is like she finds this really kind of almost like sensitive middle ground between the two where, you know, it's genre adjacent and almost like, you know, this is a good stepping stone if you want to go harder later on or something. But it's also this really fascinating sort of look at like, you know, things that we all, I think, want to say to other people in our lives, whether they're close or acquaintances or friends, that maybe we're too afraid to, but we're thinking those things. Mm-hmm. And there's this inner monologue throughout the film where it's like the things that she wishes she could say versus the things she actually does, and being submissive to a patriarchal society, whether it be, you know, intentional or aloof in that way, or not like intentionally to hurt somebody, but and we'll talk about Scoot McNairy with that in a little bit as well. But you know, when she unleashes the beast, she's also unleashing her true feelings and thoughts, and finally being able to have real, honest discussions about how she feels about motherhood and about, you know, her body and about her mind and where she sees herself and, you know, like her own relationship to her son. And, you know, it's interesting that the character doesn't have a name, you know, in the movie. And so, you know, she's a former artist, and she even mentions that that's like the most like childish job you can have. And even saying it out loud, you kind of feel awkward. And I get that too, because like when someone ever asked me about like film criticism or like what you do, I always feel like saying film criticism or like film critic is like, oh, that's not like
a real job.
So there's a lot there in terms of just like little moments that are so, you know, observational and sensitive, and like she, you know, Mariel Heller is taking the time to think about what this character is going through, and she can also, you know, be a pain in the ass as well, like anybody. And
totally,
and I think, you know, you're seeing all of that.
That's why I think I like the character.
And she's, you know, like Scoot McNairy even mentions like part of the reason why she loves her, that he loves her, is because she was weird.
You know,
and like there's like, and she's an artist, and you know, like I think artists have an eccentricity to them, and that's there, but it's not like, you know, it's good to see. Like this would, I tweeted this. This would make a really interesting double bill with Vampire's Kiss, where Nicolas Cage believes he's turning into a vampire. I don't think the commentary is there, but in terms of like almost looking at it as performance art,
sure,
it's really interesting. But the other film that I think would also be an interesting sort of companion to this more recently in terms of interrogating what motherhood is or what's expected of a woman, is Maggie Gyllenhaal's The Lost Daughter. And in terms of having feelings that maybe you don't want to admit to yourself or others, but I think are understandable, but it's something like that's you're afraid of.
That's what I mean,
like
honest, right? Like it's like, and then the movie tackles that obviously head on. It's not very subtle about any of it, but that in its any of its metaphors. But I think that, you know, the movie even calls out that people sometimes talk about, oh, it's the biggest gift. Having a kid is the most amazing thing and all these things. And you're listening to two cis white men who don't want to have children, right?
Or like, can't have children, physically speaking, in terms of like, you know, that it's almost like you expect when a child is born, you know, this switch to be flipped and it's like you become a parent automatically. Yeah. It doesn't work that way.
No, yeah. And I think it's more complicated, and the movie does, I think, a pretty good job. Again, I'm not a... I would love to get my mom's opinion on this movie, or even Nevis's, or someone who's just recently had a kid. And I think it will really appeal... not that it's not universal in some of its themes. We brought up Scoot McNairy, and I think, like, there's a lot of... I'm a husband. I'm married, and, you know, there's struggles there, and just, you know, two people living together and loving each other, and you know, it's complicated. Life is complicated, and
but maybe sharing, not always being a tentative to the other person's needs.
But you don't even know that,
and
right?
Not like, that you're trying to be cruel. It's just that maybe you're oblivious,
aloof a little bit, right? Like, and I think its portrayal of Scoot McNairy and as the titular Night Bitch's husband,
Mr. Night Bitch.
Yeah, Mr. Night Bitch himself, I think is, they handle it in a way where he's like, he's not a bad guy, he's just a little bit oblivious, which again can make you a bad guy because you're not listening to your wife or paying attention or knowing what she needs and things like that, and that can cause issues. And sometimes you think you're doing what the other person wants, but you're not digging kind of deep enough to really kind of figure out what they actually need and things like that. So I think its portrayal...
Well, it shows you how important communication is in a relationship, right? And especially to continue to have those conversations about, you know, what roles we take on and if you want to change things and not being stuck in one state forever and feeling as though you're plateauing or, you know, you're never going to move on to the next thing, because it's, you know, it's almost like a way for the character to free herself in the situation and feel like she's breaking the routine a little bit and not just simply living to take care of other people, but also still able to live for herself.
Mm-hmm. I found all of that stuff very relatable as well. I'll go back to my point of the tone. Yeah, I just feel like that's where it loses me a little bit. I still think I ultimately like enjoyed the movie overall quite a bit, but I just find the tonal shifts, and I think we both are on the same page here of just wishing it committed to that weirdness and the dark stuff and to go even a little bit further. Like, there are further. Yeah. You brought up that there's going to be the one sequence that people point out that involves a little bit of body horror and some grossness, right? Like, and I feel like when it was doing that, I remember I was like openly laughing, like one of the only other people in this giant 3,000 seat theater, and me just going, like when it's happening. Cause like, I like when a movie gets very weird to the point where, you're like, it's definitely going to be off-putting to a certain, like, people in the theater.
Well, especially when they see, I mean, I guess the title still is somewhat aggressive, but when they see Amy Adams's name on the marquee and that she's in a new movie and that it's this, you know, big studio film, there's this expectation, I guess, of it being commercial, right?
Right.
Or like even the films that she makes are somewhat, you know, comedies, dramas, that in that vein. Like, this movie is a weird anomaly that I think if it was made in the 80s or 90s, it would have a second life.
You said on cable, or something like that.
And it would probably become a cult classic that way. I still think it can, and it probably will, and it'll be that weird movie in Mariel Heller's career where it's like, oh, that's the movie she's turning into a dog.
Yeah,
but it's it does. Not, I'm not saying this in a bad way, but it doesn't. It doesn't have the bite that you're expecting it to maybe go for in terms of that darkness, that edge, that like, oh, maybe things are really starting to take a turn for the worse, or like, you know, being like in a moment of spiraling out of control or feeling like she's a threat to her own family. Like, it never goes to those places. And it's like, it's not like, if anybody's worried about like jump scares or horror, it's not really that kind of movie.
No, it's just one gross sequence. That's it. Like, I was trying to explain, like, I'll try to explain to Nevis because she doesn't really like gore or weird body horror stuff, right? And I'll be like, well, there's one moment you probably want to close your eyes, but other than that, like, you could easily watch this. It doesn't, there's just one moment that I wish there was more of that because I wanted more weirdness and a darker tone throughout, where it does try to be accessible while still being weird. And I think that's just where I struggled to be like, well, I don't love this, but I do like it. I just, I don't know. I just also wish it struggles tonally. It's a little all over the place for me. But
yeah, it's not completely a situation where it's all bark and no bite. It's just, I wish the bite was a little harder.
Yeah, I totally agree. Anything else you want to mention from Night Bitch?
It's another film we were talking about, Relay, where it's a very clean looking movie. And I think, like, again,
it's just a trend now, man, like with digital cinematography. Yeah.
Well, this was a movie as well that was, and I get why, because we were talking about the trailer earlier. I don't know if Searchlight and Disney knew what to do with this thing, because there were rumors at one point that it was going to end up on Hulu.
I think they still don't, based on that trailer.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's not going to do well, and I think people will see it just for Amy Adams, but they'll kind of be scratching their heads and being like, "What is this?" And I think it is that kind of movie, but hopefully it will find some sort of second life and.
On streaming, it might be Disney Plus.
And I do hope that Mariel Heller, you know, continues to kind of take
ambitious swings,
you know, in her career, because she's now directed 4 movies, and she really is, I think, a top tier, like, studio director, but she has this great, like, indie sensibility and absurdist kind of humor to things. And, you know, like, I think even, you know, coming after A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which was looking at finding positive male role models in, you know, children's lives. This is looking at how, you know, motherhood affects not only the mom, but, like, you know, the woman that she was before, and sort of trying to reconnect. And even, I even like the stuff with her thinking about asking advice or trying to think what her own mother would have done, and now, like, even asking other people that, like, do you have, like, a cheat code, or do you, like, what do you do in this situation, and not knowing, because, like, again, like, it's that thing where when a child is born, it's almost like when you become a parent, like, it's like, oh, you have to know all this stuff, and it's, you're just gifted it, like, it just happens.
It's instinct,
and it's not. It's like a lot of it is making it up as you go along. I mean, even with every book that you read, with every doctor you talk to,
well, every kid is different too.
Yeah, right? And so, like, you know, there's conversations about, like, you know, maybe, like, she's critical of maybe not having put him in a crib when he was drowsy to make him fall asleep and things like that. And so there's that aspect as well of when, you know, it's looking at how, you know, there's no, you know, straight path to being a parent in any way whatsoever. And there's also this great observation about divorced dads.
Oh yeah, you really
which
love
is
that.
And so real. It is very funny, but then you're like,
it got a really
my
good
heart
laugh.
Hurts there's because like, it's real.
I didn't even think about sunscreen line. I laughed really hard.
That is real too.
That's very, very funny. And there's a lot of stuff like that. Like, there are some good laughs. There's a good use of a Weird Al Yankovic song.
Dare to be stupid.
So stuff like that is actually a lot of fun. So, I definitely think it's worth watching. I don't know if you need to, like, rush out to the theater. I think if you I do think it will land with, you know, a lot of people, and especially women who either have had children or I'd be very, like, I
think the sickos might be a little disappointed that it's not grosser or weirder or more disturbing or horrific in a way that maybe the Rachel Yonder novel is.
Yeah, I think I've heard that, that the novel might be darker, weirder, like more body horror stuff kind of in it. But this is a movie I would suggest to, like, my mom and her friends get together and see movies all the time, like in a little sorority group or whatever. And I wouldn't, like, this is a movie where I'm like, okay, it's weird enough that you guys are going to think it's very weird. So, like, and I think you all will vibe with it because of its themes and you're all mothers and stuff like that. And I'd be really, I will suggest it to them. And my mom likes watching weirder movies and, like, trying to kind of expand her, you know, film watching. And she'll get my dad to watch weird stuff too, so maybe they'll watch it together when it's on. But I think it might be one of those things where watch it when it's on Disney Plus or Hulu or something. Like, I agree with you that I don't know how well this is going to do theatrically, and I'm surprised they did pivot back. Like, I get with after Prey doing really well, them going with Alien and going, okay, well, let's put this in theaters, like, instead of on Hulu. And with this, I'm surprised because there's so much Searchlight stuff that does go to Hulu now. And
it was smart of them.
Maybe because of Amy Adams and
yeah, and Mariel Heller and just it being sort of off kilter enough to be kind of intriguing to people. And I do think a festival play is smart in terms of building buzz and momentum for the performance. And at least, you know, even if you don't like the movie, you know, you can say, well, you know, Adams gives everything she has to the role. And, you know, you have to really also compliment Heller for that, because, like, she trusts her, you know, in doing stuff. Because when you're thinking about a movie, like, most films shoot, you know, out of order, and you know, like, a lot of these scenes, when you're shooting them piece by piece, you're thinking, how is this going to play? Are they using the best take for this? And and so all those things play a part in it. And so for Adams to give that trust to Heller is a really big deal. And I think they're really good together, and I hope they work together again. And I even really liked the small role from Jessica Harper, who's probably best known for being the lead in the original Dario Argento Suspiria. She's popped up recently in Luca Guadagnino's remake of Suspiria, but also Bones and All, and Michelle Franco's Memory. And she has a really interesting role as well, in terms of, like, there's almost like this ambiguity of, like, maybe she knows more than what she's letting on. But yeah, there's a lot
She went through a very similar
thing. And so, like, there's good stuff there. Like, it's not, I was kind of worried a little bit that it was going to almost be like Mike Nichols' Wolf with Jack Nicholson and Michelle Pfeiffer, where Jack Nicholson gets bitten by a wolf and starts turning into a wolf and, like, you know, gets his life back together again, because he's kind of like this failing book manager, book editor, like, for this like high-end company that's going through a change. And he's basically being demoted by Christopher Plummer's character, and James Spader comes in and takes over. And there's one really good scene where, like, Spader's this complete asshole, to the point where, like, Spader's sleeping with Jack Nicholson's wife. And so once Nicholson gets bitten, he becomes, like, the top dog again, if you will. And there's a scene where Spader's pleading to Nicholson to get his job back.
Yeah.
And they're in the washroom, and Nicholson pees on Spader's suede shoes, and he's just like, I'm just marking my territory, man.
Great. Yeah.
I'm glad it didn't become that.
Sure. Yeah. I completely agree. Definitely think it's worth a watch. Even if I think it struggled tonally, I still think it ultimately works. Yeah. I still enjoyed it. Good performance. Weird enough, even though I wish it went further. Has some heart to it. Like you said, it's weirdly sweet.
Yeah.
Like, and I think even with its honest portrayal of...
It's never judgmental of the characters, and even, like, the people that are... You know, she has some art friends that are kind of snobby.
Yeah.
But it's never cruel to anybody. And I think it gives everybody a pretty fair shake. Even, you know, the people that are a little bit more oblivious or maybe apathetic to the situation at hand. And so... I think Mariel Heller is just a really insightful and intuitive filmmaker that takes the time to really, you know, build great characters and performances. I think she's really becoming, like, a great actor's director.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it. You can check out all of our other TIFF reviews, which we will be doing until the 15th, right?
Yeah.
So you can check out our reviews for things like, what have we reviewed, Eric?
Anora, Saturday Night, yeah. Relay, what else? See, the TIFF brain fog is
yeah, coming. Anyways, you guys can just look at whatever we've reviewed. I can't even remember at this point. But yeah, we'll be doing stuff all week, probably 2 to 3 reviews every day. So keep it locked right here on podcast services or on YouTube. You can follow us on Letterboxd, which is Untitled_Movies. All of our reviews will be over there as well. And you can follow both of us on social media, at Matt Rohrbeck and at EM6211, where we will be posting our initial gut reactions to a lot of the things that we see. And that's it. Until next time.
I give it 2 bones up.